Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
John, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We are great. Saw a fun game last night for Thursday Night Football. How about the Rams?
The Rams, my preseason Super Bowl pick. I can't wait till they play the Chiefs in Mexico City.
Mahomes against, Mahomes against the Rams offense will be a lot of fun to watch. I'm with you.
You know something that bothers me, and I don't know how y'all feel about this, but every time the Rams do well, people take cheek shots at Jeff Fisher. And I'm not saying Jeff's offense coordinator was any good, but Jared Goff was a rookie quarterback who struggled. And then after Jeff left, they went out and signed left tackle Andrew Whitworth. They signed Sullivan, the center. They traded for Sammy White, Robert Woods, and drafted Cooper Kupp. And, of course, Gurley had been offensive rookie of the year 2 years before that. So it's not like Sean, and I know Sean McVay's done a great job, but it's not like Jeff Fisher had all those offensive players and all of a sudden Sean McVay made them into superstars. You know, half that offense that was brought in last year was not there the year before.
All true, John, but name a competent offensive.
People don't point that out.
They don't, but name a competent offensive coordinator that Jeff Fisher hired after Mike Heimerdinger.
Nobody said anything about this, Paul. They just ripped Jeff. They don't say anything about his coordinator. And so I just think it's such cheap shots when they don't point out the facts.
Real quick, I'll point out that Jack Conklin will play and start on Sunday for the Titans at right tackle, so he makes his return. Adoree Jackson is good to go as well, full practice participant. So he has cleared concussion protocol, and he will play on Sunday starting at corner.
Good news. This is the closest to full strength they've been. They've got an issue at backup quarterback, obviously, with Austin Davis in line to replace Mariota if anything happens. They've talked like they're not limiting things for Mariota anymore, and that's a good sign. Conklin's back. They're still thin at tackle with Kelly. But this is the most full strength we've seen them. John, what was your reaction when you heard just that a guy who'd been really the top wideout on this team for the last 2 years decided he didn't like the snaps he was getting, went up to John Robinson's office and said, "That's it for me."
That's two guys who quit in 2 weeks. Vontae Davis quit at halftime, and then Rashad Matthews, you know, he quit afterward. And more, I guess, guys can do it today, more power to them. You know, college quarterbacks are transferring like crazy because of the new red shirt rule. I just read a long story on that. So, hey, if they can take advantage of the rules, why not? And I hope, did Matthews sign with anybody yet?
No.
No. I think there might be some stipulations on where he could go or how quickly, because it sure seemed the way John Robinson was talking like there's some confidential agreement reached with regard to money and maybe movement.
Well, that would make sense. You don't want him going in the AFC South, number one. You know, number two is, I would imagine, you know, if you wouldn't want him in the AFC, although seriously, would they be worried about what Rashad Matthews is going to do to him?
No.
No.
Not this year.
If guys are disgruntled, you know, Titans got a good thing going and he wants out, great for him. Go somewhere else, because I think it's pretty obvious to everyone, despite all those injuries, they have weathered the offensive tackle storm, weathered the Mariota storm, the Delanie Walker storm. So to do that, you got to have good chemistry. You got to have leaders. And it seems to me like they got a good thing going on. And if Matthews doesn't want to be part of it, that's fine.
Let's go to the phones and say hello to Bill in Bellevue. Luke is on deck. What's up, Bill?
Hey, guys. Hey, John. I always appreciate your insight. Hey, I'm actually going up to the Steelers Ravens game up in Pittsburgh. I'm flying out tomorrow morning. But what can I expect from that game? It's not often that my Steelers are at the very bottom of the AFC North, so I think this is kind of a win or die game for them. But I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Steelers scoring a lot of points, and they're giving up a lot of points. You know, we've always thought about Pittsburgh as having great physical, intimidating defense. There's nothing about their defense that is intimidating, as we saw Monday night against the Buccaneers. Defense was great in the first half, awful in the second, almost lost the game to Fitzpatrick. Baltimore is perfect in the red zone. 12 touchdowns and 12 trips to the red zone.
Wow.
Who would have thought it with Joe Flacco at quarterback? So the Ravens offense is working pretty well right now. So I'm guessing this game, instead of being the violent, physical games of the past, is going to be high scoring.
I think so, too. Now, watch it be the exact opposite after I say this. Ben Roethlisberger leads the league with 139 pass attempts through 3 weeks. That's because they don't have Le'Veon Bell there. And Roethlisberger threw for over 500 yards in one of the two matchups against Baltimore last season in that shootout. It was like 39-38 was the final. I'm expecting something like that there, and I'm eager to watch on Sunday. That's a Sunday night game, right? Sunday night football?
I'm not positive.
I think that's
right.
I don't
know, is it?
I think that's Sunday night football. I'm eager to watch Marlon Humphrey match up against Antonio Brown. No one slows down Brown, but that's the key to the game right there. If Roethlisberger is able to get it to Brown and keep him happy against Humphrey on the outside, there you go. There's the matchup.
That is Sunday night. I would think Baltimore, I mean, obviously they're not going to stay perfect red zone, but I would expect some regression in something like that. And Flacco, you know, we heard a ton about how great he was in the preseason, how much better he looked. I've seen some clips of some not great throws. Curious to see him with the bigger body of work. Steelers are not what everybody thinks of them as, right? We always think of them as a defensive force. It's not a very good defensive. They missed Ryan Shazier for starters, you know, and that's an unfortunate thing where you didn't expect to have a hole there, and it's hard to patch it.
And they've really struggled to stop the pass. I mean, they're averaging, opponents are averaging like 280 yards per game against them so far.
Is it Artie Burns platooning almost with Cody Sensabaugh? You know, you got to pick one and go with it, I think. Yeah, platooning two bad players doesn't get you a good player.
And the Ravens have John Brown and Crabtree at receiver.
A lot better than they were.
Back to the phones. We go to Luke. Luke, what's up?
Yes, I appreciate y'all taking my call. Titans have had a couple pretty tough matchups the first 3 weeks against the run. Do y'all foresee us picking up our run game this week? I mean, I know we're playing pretty tough rush defense again, but we've got a healthy O-line. Just want to see what y'all thought.
Yeah, the Eagles have running back by committee. They didn't have Jay Ajayi Sunday when they beat Indianapolis, but I saw a great stat about how not one back has played more than 81% of the snaps, something like that. So I think the Titans are going to do a good job against the run, and they're going to come in there with Carson Wentz in his second start throwing the ball a lot.
I want to see the Titans run out of three wide, John. We've been talking about that here. The Eagles have, I think, 22% of runs against the Eagles have come out of two tight end formations this year, less than 2 yards per carry in those situations. I know you want to kind of force the issue and change the trend, but I think is enough evidence to tell us that that's not the way to get ground yards against this Philly defense.
Spread the defense out.
Corey is next up, calling from right here in Music City. Corey, go ahead, man.
What's up, guys? Appreciate it. John, good to hear from you, sir. And I got two separate questions for you. One's dealing with the Falcons and losing both of their starting safeties for the year in Ricardo Allen and Keanu Neal. What are they looking at now as far as you know, help at safety? Are they pretty vulnerable for the rest of the year? And my second question is in regards to Larry Fitzgerald in a fantasy aspect. how soon should, or how long should I hold on to him before I, you know, make a decision on whether or not to let him go or not?
Well, the only reason you would let him go is because of the quarterbacks, because Fitzgerald just keeps getting better and better. Once he hit 30, he was as good as he was when he was less than 30. As far as the safeties in Atlanta, you can't lose two starters and not feel the effects of that. Something that I didn't know till this week, remember when Atlanta was so awful in the red zone in that opener? That they, since that game, they have been tremendous in the red zone. So if they're scoring touchdowns in the red zone, then that would make up for having to play backups at safety.
John McClain with us. John, what do you...
John, they told them, don't change.
Well, that's because they've tweaked the rule. I'll guarantee you it's going to be just like the leading helmet controversy in preseason. They quote-unquote brought some clarification to it, and it was one line in Troy Vincent's statement yesterday that told, I guarantee you we won't have any time a guy, his intent is in there, and also if he lands with his full body weight, that's a penalty. But these where they've called it with guys trying to let up, that's ridiculous, and I don't think they'll be called again.
That's just crazy, though, that they let it go that way for 3 weeks. Green Bay lost a game because of it, pretty much, right? And so...
Yep, Matthews had three.
Yeah, it's just so inconsistent. You got to get it right at the beginning. It can't be a sliding scale during the course of the year.
Let's go to the phones, and we go to Jay in Hermitage. Hey, Jay.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. John, I wanted to ask about the quarterback play this year. Just watching those two quarterbacks last night, I've seen Kirk Cousins make some throws, and Jared Goff the same, that I've never seen made, I mean, in windows and just dropping it in like nothing I've ever seen before. And I guess my question is, it seemed like in years past, the top-tier quarterbacks, you had the Tom Brady's, the Drew Breeses, Aaron Rodgers, and Peyton Manning in the past. And then things kind of fell off from there. Then you had kind of the second-tier level guys. It feels like that some of these guys, that top tier is diluted now with so much more talent. Like I said, Kirk Cousins, Goff, Pat Mahomes and Fitzmagic down in Tampa Bay. What's up with the quarterback play, and do you think that the gap, once again, between the best and the next level down is shrinking, and is the curve getting smaller? It seems like guys are coming in more prepared. They're able to make contributions significantly earlier than just, say, maybe 20 years ago, back in the 90s, when it seemed like there was much more of a learning curve. I'm going to hang up and listen, guys.
That's amazing to put Ryan Fitzpatrick in there with those guys. What we see is we're in the greatest passing era in the history of the NFL because of the rules that were changed. And right now, more of the NFL programs are adopting some of the things they've done in college, and that's helping. And you have great young quarterback like Jared Goff in his third season, you know, Carson Wentz in his third season. There's such a premium put on them. Teams are trading up, trading draft choices, and they're getting guys who can coach them. And as running backs have been devalued, quarterbacks have been more valued. And there's speculation Jared Goff, when he signs, probably sometime next year, will get $40 million a year.
I just think the caller is overstating. I mean, we're seeing some quarterbacks emerge for sure. But, I mean, Deshaun Watson was fantastic last year, and he hadn't done anything yet this year. Jimmy Garoppolo was fantastic last year. He didn't play particularly well before tearing his ACL. You know, Josh Rosen is hardly lighting it up. Mitch Trubisky, Deshaun Kizer, you know, and these are still Paxton Lynch is out of work, isn't he? Christian Hackenberg.
Yeah. I mean,
there are plenty of quarterbacks who've come. Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota haven't become yet what people expected from them. Blake Bortles. Johnny Manziel's out of the league. Bridgewater's not a starter. It's not hard to find quarterbacks drafted high who haven't panned out. Don't let Mahomes and Goff and a couple guys who are panning out trick you into thinking that the hit rate has gotten to be some big number that it's not.
We go next to Matt in Greenbrier. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. Hey, John, can you help explain how the Buffalo Bills, without Shady McCoy, went into Minneapolis and beat the Vikings last week? And then secondary to that, what do you think about Josh Allen and his potential? I mean, was that a fluke, or is the guy potentially, you know, the next Carson Wentz?
Let's be honest about the Bills when they played Minnesota. Obviously, Minnesota was looking ahead to the Thursday night game against Rams, and they went in there, and they hosted the Bills. Josh Allen ran for two touchdowns. He had that hurdle of Anthony Barr, which he'll never do again because he could have gotten hurt so easy. I expect the Bills to come back down to earth, and we saw Minnesota bounce back and play a great offensive game last night, but certainly not a defense. In fact, the Vikings defense was number one last year, not Jacksonville, but the Vikings. And they got like four number one picks now in their secondary, and they sure didn't play like it based on the way Jared Goff just picked them apart.
They're better against conventional. I think the Buffalo is a kind of fluky win. You're going to drop a game here and there unless you're tremendous. The Rams, you know, I don't think I was expecting them to beat. I don't like Minnesota, generally speaking, but I think it's a pretty good team, and I think they'll be there near the end.
I thought their defense was going to come out and dominate like it did last year, but it hadn't.
John, let's get a few of your predictions for week four across the league. Atlanta hosts Cincinnati. The Bengals at 2-1, Falcons at 1-2.
I'm going with Atlanta. They've been lighting it up offensively, even though they got problems defensively. Andy Dalton is on target. It'll be a high-scoring, fun game with the Falcons winning.
Dallas hosts Detroit. Both teams 1-2, and Cowboys fans want to see a Dallas offense that's actually going to throw the football a little bit.
It wouldn't surprise me if Matthew Stafford didn't go back to his hometown and light them up. But I'm not going to pick against the Cowboys. Ezekiel Elliott averaging 5.7 yards a carry. They need to get him the ball more. Make him the focal point of the offense. Don't make it be Dak Prescott. I'm taking the Cowboys.
The Dolphins at 3-0. They are on the road at New England. The Patriots at 1-2.
Miami wins. He got a three-game lead on the Patriots. I just can't believe that's going to happen. New England has dropped back-to-back games on the road in double digits for the first time since 2000, Belichick's first season. I think the Patriots, they're going to win at Gillette Stadium.
I agree. I just can't. It's mostly about not seeing Miami be 4-0. I just can't imagine Miami being 4-0.
Miami pulls off the win, think about how much differently we may be looking at that Titans loss to Miami as the season goes on.
Yeah, not.
It'll be better than anyone thought.
Agree.
John, let's go through the AFC South. Let's start in Houston, or start in Indy, rather. The Texans are on the road at the Colts.
I'm picking the Colts, 24-20.
0-4 start, according to John McClain, for the Houston Texans. Twitter should be magnificent, at McClain_on_NFL. Let's move through. The Jets are at Jacksonville. The Jags return home at 2-1 after their first loss.
Jags have played three consecutive games at home. They better win this one because they're going to start playing on the road a lot. The good Blake will probably show up as opposed to the bad Blake, who's been there two out of the first three games.
Can Vrabel make it 3 in a row, and can the Titans get to 3-1 at the end of September? They're hosting Philly.
The Eagles won by 4 over the Colts at home, and the Colts needed a Hail Mary at the end. They could have won the game. I think the Titans are going to win this game and continue to be one of the biggest surprises in the NFL.
Let's get a couple of the primetime games. Steelers hosting the Ravens.
I'm going with the Steelers. I don't ever pick them to lose at home unless it's against New England.
How about that? There's a John McClain predictor. Picks the Steelers to win at home all the time unless it's New England.
Steelers at 1-1-1, by the way. The 3-0 Chiefs on the road at the 2-1 Broncos Monday night.
It's not like
the Chiefs haven't been there a lot. I'm not buying into the Broncos. I think they're going to struggle, so I'm going with Kansas City.
John, always enjoy when you're on. Enjoy the trip to Indy.
Guys, you got enjoy that game Sunday. That ought to be a lot of fun.